outside of our conscious awareness. Through a series of interviews with practitioners, guest speakers, and experts, Liberate the podcast covers all that and more, from health and holistic healing to the supernatural. We aim to educate, motivate, inspire, and liberate your consciousness. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Liberate the Podcast. Today we have one of our very own with us, Jerome, and he specializes in many different things, hypnotherapy, past life regression, but also he considers himself an organic empath. And we're kind of going to focus on that for the purpose of the show today. So Jerome, explain a little bit about what is an organic empath.
Sure, absolutely. First of all, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it. I always enjoy hanging out and spending some time with you all. Being an organic empath really is kind of, you know, it's just something that it sort of happened, and I kind of realized what it was after the fact. When I was little, I got feelings about certain things. It didn't always make sense. Like, I'd be having a great day, then all of a sudden I just kind of felt like there's this need, like I should cry, even though I didn't feel like crying. And it was just, it didn't link up with everything else that was going on. And I eventually came to realize that I was kind of picking up on other people's energies. And it wasn't just, oh, I might feel a need to cry even though I didn't want to. It was sometimes I'd be just like incredibly curious when I really didn't have anything that I was curious about, obviously, right in front of me. And it just comes from the fact that I was picking up on people's energies, which is kind of a terminology that's used for it right now, or more presently, is clairsentient, which is picking up on the sensations of others that are around you. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, clairvoyant, but or being clairvoyant, whereas you're seeing images and stuff, which is something else that I also receive information through another way that I receive information. But I think that the first one that developed with me was this clairsentience. And so I was getting these sensations from other people that were around me, sometimes just in passing, sometimes people I was interacting with directly. And it was just really kind of confusing. But, you know, in the beginning, I wasn't using tools to pick up on other people's energies and other people's information. I wasn't using cards. I wasn't using dowsing rods. I wasn't using pendulums. I was just kind of reading energy.
Interesting. And, you know, for everybody that's listening, maybe some way of looking at this, of an experience that you can relate to if you're not that organic empath, all of us at some point have walked into a building, a room, and either it has felt good or it's felt bad, or the energy, you know, and those are a way of us having kind of tapping into it on a very subtle level. And I think what Jerome is explaining is that is magnified times 100, where he can actually tap into the individual person and not just the collective energy of an environment, you know?
Right, right.
Would you agree with what that?
Absolutely, yeah. That's exactly how I would label it. That was a very good description of it.
Well, you know, since a lot of people at home or the people that are listening, you know, you started out saying a few different words, and I mean, I think that we might be attracting a few listeners that understand this metaphysical realm and these
Sure.
different alternative senses and sensations and ways of perceiving the world. But can you go into a little bit more in detail? You said clairsentient and you said clairvoyant.
Right.
And, you know, can you look at what are those different kind of sensations and senses, and can you give a little bit of a better description for the viewers that maybe have no awareness of what this is at all?
Absolutely, absolutely. And good call on that. Sometimes we kind of get into talking, you know, whatever jargon and forget to bring everybody else into it. It essentially, clairvoyant is kind of seeing images, you know, or you know, like little clips of things that have happened, things that are happening, or things that will happen. And I should also say that there's a clair for every one of the five senses. Okay. Clairvoyance is kind of the one that seems to be the most popular, the one that most people have heard of. You know, there's also clairsentience, which is feeling the sensations of others around you. There's clair olfactory, which is basically the sense of smell. and people kind of get certain intuitive indicators from certain scents. There's clairgustatory, where people will get certain intuitive information, certain pieces of intuitive information that come from certain tastes. Now, this scientifically, the term that you may have heard is, it's slipping my mind right now, sorry, but it's synesthesia. And what that is sometimes people will actually, it's basically mixing up the information that you're getting from the sense that you are getting it through. So sometimes people might read or see or hear the number four, but then all of a sudden they feel like they like have the taste of grass in their mouth. Or lemon or something. And it really kind of affects the way that they're able to actually function in society. And sometimes they aren't able to be in large crowds, or they end up wearing headphones if they do with, you know, music to block things out.
But some of our biggest prodigies of all time have that happen,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, they have this way of learning about the world, and even, you know, from musicians or like Mozart. Mozart was like that, right? And
right.
And he would, what was it, see the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have, you know, some of the mathematicians and stuff like that, or the memory specialists. I don't know, I've been getting obsessed with this TV show lately. It's called Brain Games. And
gotcha.
I don't know if anybody's watched it, but it's truly fascinating. But they do this one where they have this memory expert, and they have this memory expert come on, and they say like the way and the key for him to memorize everything in a room and people's names and all these sequences, that he forms images of everything. And in that images and that synesthesia, he's able to actually, you know, so it can be a detriment to people, but it can also be this beautiful thing that is a blessing.
Absolutely. You know, it's just being able to figure out how to work towards your own, you know, your own best gifts, and being able to kind of highlight what it is that you have to offer in any given situation.
Okay. Now, so we have clairaudience, we have
clairaudience we haven't gotten into yet.
Sorry, I forgot about that one.
No, that's great that you brought that up. Clairaudience is where people will get information, but it's not a sound that's coming from an external source, so to speak. It's like it registers with the brain the same way, but it's something that is kind of coming in through a slightly different channel. It's not external noise, you know, that's somebody's voice saying something. But that's the way that it kind of hits the brain. Like the brain, when they've had people, you know, wired up to electrodes and things like that, when they've been studying this, the brain reacts in the same way, like it's hearing it, but it's not necessarily coming from an outside source, so to speak.
Okay.
So, you know, one thing that when I first read about this, about what that is, because it sounds so amazing, and some people think, oh, are they hearing voices? Are they, you know, do they have a mental illness or something? And no, it's really a different thing. And historically, one thing that struck me is that Joan of Arc herself very well may have been clairaudient, who, you know, was burned at the stake for being a witch for hearing voices. And, you know, that she did have a couple of predictions that had come through in terms of, you know, the battles that they would be in and things that would happen, you know, moving into those battles. It's just really interesting and, you know, horrible practice, burning someone at the stake. And it, you know, it happened back at that time for more than one reason. But it's always struck me since I've known what this particular, I guess, classification is, that it's very possible that that's something that she was experiencing. And because of just the mass amounts of fear that were running so rampant at the time, that she, you know, unfortunately paid a pretty high price for sharing some of her information with others.
Which is sad that, you know, across history, you know, we continue, and even in today's age, the things that we don't understand fully are the things that we mark as weird and we don't want to know about it, and we kind of shoo it as that there's something wrong with it instead of trying to understand.
Right.
And that in, you know, part of, you know, in this exploration of understanding these different ways that you can have the sixth sense in a way through these different through your different senses and this extra kind of sense, the sixth sense within those senses, you know, when you start to dive in and you can understand that there's nothing wrong with it, that a lot of people that are listening might have had experiences of a slight variance of this,
yeah,
you know, over time. And that's why I was sharing about walking into the room and feeling whether it felt like it had bad energy, good energy, whether it was inviting or disinviting. And that's tapping into it on a certain level. And I
absolutely
think as you dive into it further, you can start to activate these senses and start to know more about the world around you.
Yeah.
And the unknown world, the things that we don't see.
Absolutely. I love that expression, the things unseen, because I honestly believe that there are many more things that are unseen than seen in this world. And, you know, to be able to kind of explore those things is kind of, I think, still this... The next final frontier, you know, there's still a ton about that we don't know, that we haven't understood. You know, we've explored more about space than we have about our own oceans. And I think that we've explored more about our own oceans than we have about our own cells. You know, and I think that it's just a really interesting concept to really kind of get into and to look at and to see which way you're receiving information. You know, it's a lot of it is about frequency and just understanding frequency. Like you were saying, just walking into a room and seeing how you feel about it. Does it feel lonely? Does it feel like somebody was just there and maybe just left? And these are all little things that we can all do to kind of start heightening our senses or our awareness of frequency, or our awareness of the general energetics of a room or a place at any given time. But it's really, really interesting stuff to be able to kind of look into. And seeing, you know, a lot of clients myself, it's always nice to kind of be able to meet somebody and just kind of get a quick sense of what's going on in their day. And you know, I'm usually able to kind of utilize that to kind of start moving into the process of doing a reading with them or asking them certain questions. In terms of if it's like a hypnotherapy client, but it just really helps you navigate your everyday situation when you're able to kind of start identifying different energies.
And it sounds like it started out at something that you didn't understand, and in that not understanding it as a child, it might have hindered you in some ways, like where you're feeling like you want to cry and you're like, there's nothing wrong with me and there's nothing that I feel sad about. And over the course, you've learned to kind of navigate it and then actually utilize it as an asset.
Right. And even you can even kind of turn it up or turn it down, so it's not something that's always on. I've had, you know, some people, when they kind of realize what it is I can do, they are kind of constantly asking me, oh, what's your sense on this? What's your sense on that? What's your sense on this person? And it's just not something that I always leave on. I remember there was this one time when I was a teenager where I just got so bored with kind of knowing certain things that were about to happen, that I kind of like almost wanted it to stop. And you know, it was kind of, you know, asking, praying for it to just stop and for surprise and randomness to come back into my life.
Because that's interesting, because I mean, people go and they pay psychics and mystics and, you know, to learn about the future. Here you're like, I want surprise, I want the unknown to come into my life.
It's so true. It was even to the most mundane things. Like, I remember I was driving in traffic one time, my mom and I, she had picked me up from school, and we're driving, and there's this motorcyclist in front of us. It's not wearing a helmet, it was just on the back of the seat. And all of a sudden, and this is actually one I usually don't get clairaudient, but occasionally I will. In this scenario, I actually heard 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, and I'm like looking around, I'm like, what's going on? My mom's sitting right next to me, there's nothing going on, she's not saying anything, the radio's not on. 2, 1, and I kind of like look up, and the helmet on the back of the motorcycle kind of gave a little shudder. And I just quickly turned to my mom and said, "Mom, move into the next lane." And she just kind of turned to me and said, "What?" And I was like, "Move into the next lane." And she didn't immediately, but the helmet popped right off the back of the motorcycle that was in front of us, hit the ground, popped up really high. And she saw that and she swerved out of the way. Otherwise, the helmet, this huge motorcycle helmets are pretty big things. It would have hit the windshield. Like, wow. Without a doubt. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, that was amazing that that just happened. I was glad I was able to do something of service and to be able to help with that. But, you know, still, that's one way where it worked out to, you know, the exciting benefit of our safety. But at the same time, randomly or regularly on any given day when you're having a conversation with somebody and they start what's going to be speaking, you know, for basically with like a sentence or for a paragraph worth of information. Mm-hmm. And after they say the first sentence, I'm like, I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know where you're going. Just get to the end of
it. Get to the question.
Right. You know, it was bizarre. I laugh about it just because now I've learned how to kind of turn that down. So it's, I'm not knowing exactly what it is that the person's saying, so I'm able to kind of monitor, I guess, the surprise, you know, in the randomness in life, and I'm able to kind of turn that up a little bit more, which is great, and makes it much easier to be able to have and wield this, I guess, gift or skill.
Yeah, I would say that it's a gift and a skill, because it sounds like it's something that was a natural thing that occurred to you, and then over time you learn to, you know, comb it and have it be more refined of a skill set.
Right. Yeah. Right on. Yeah.
So, you know, you said that you looked into and started reading about the different six senses that you can have, and looking into clairaudience and being more fascinated with that because that was something that you didn't really personally experience that often. Did you find any information that said, like, what is more common among people? And, you know, do more people see clair visually, or do more people have more that kinesthetic feeling or that clairsentience, or what is it?
I think that's a brilliant question. No, I haven't found anything that says that anybody has any one form of receiving information than another. However, again, clairvoyant is the terminology that most people seem to be familiar with. Mm-hmm. More people seem to be familiar with clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. I think that because of that, and I think that we're all capable of everything, of all of these clairs. It's just not turned on with all of us. It's not activated. And so I think because a lot of people are more familiar with clairvoyance, then they might kind of have that one turn on first, just because there's an awakening that's happening, you know, and a lot more people are aware of that. And so that's kind of the familiar switch to turn on. I do think that, interestingly enough, a lot of people, maybe arguably more people, are actually more in tune with their clairsentience, even though they may not know what to call it. You know, when you hear about a mother who automatically just has this amazing sense of dread, and they go and contact their child or go pick them up from school or something, and then the school bus gets into an accident or something like that, that's clairsentience, you know, when they just don't know. If they get this image of it, okay, that's clairvoyance, and then they're like, they're seeing that, and oh, I had this vision that there's this thing that was going to happen. But beyond that, there are a lot of feelings that people get, even old sayings like trust your gut. That is very clearly speaking about clairsentience. You know, the sensation that you get. You know, that's what that's about. You know, trusting your first instinct. Still clairsentience. You know, there are a lot of things that point in the direction of people having an awareness of this. But a lot of times when you don't have a name to it, it's a little more difficult to pin down and to track as an experience, I guess.
Yeah, and people don't look at it that way, or kind of think about things in those mindsets or kind of ways of looking at the world,
because
It's like we're very much into, at least in this day and age, into the scientific. Does it make sense? What is the laws that govern that? Is this in the realm of it? Can I test it? Can I do this? But even modern science nowadays is looking at it and saying, okay, well, no, there's something, there's your physical body, but there's also this energy.
Right.
And, you know, that sometimes when you have blocks in your energy and in those systems, that it actually does affect the physical body and vice versa. And so that there's this whole realm of things that we don't really fully understand.
You're so right. Yeah.
And I laugh at sometimes people that are so scientific in nature, and I'm like, have you ever just stopped for a moment? We're floating around, you know, we're here, we're actually upside down, but we're spinning really fast, and we're held together by this unseen force called gravity. And, you know, we're being kept alive by an atomic bomb that keeps on exploding in the galaxy called our sun. Like, and yet you want to question, you know, you want everything to be scientific. Like, I mean, come on, pull yourself out of this world for a second. We're, you know, this hodgepodge of, you know, electrons, protons, and neutrons all floating together. You know, life is crazy. Life is interesting.
Absolutely, without a doubt. Without a doubt, yeah.
Jerome, tell me a little bit about how you utilize some of these senses and clairs in readings and helping other people.
Sure. I call myself an organic empath because just in the beginning, I wasn't using tools at all. I wasn't using cards or rune stones or pendulums. But I did find out that after a while, some people were just a little more comfortable when there's something going on physical, you know, something 3D, something solid that they could refer to in terms of like what's happening. So I started using cards.
Interesting. For me, when I get a reading, I'm like, I don't want anything. Like, I prefer like the people that are just like channeling random information.
You know, I like that. I really, really enjoy being able to kind of pick stuff up and being able to identify, you know, what is and what isn't. But, you know, at the same time, I entirely respect that people sometimes want to take this kind of active physical role in what it is that they're finding out. And, you know, if that means that, oh, they're looking at the cards with you, then I guess that's it. You know, that's what it means. And the cards out there are just so amazing. Like the Oracle decks are just absolutely fabulous. I actually use the Archetype cards. And you know, when I do use Tarot, I'll use the Renaissance deck, but they're just some beautiful, beautiful cards. And I have to say that Liberate has a very nice collection of them. It's just so important to be able to have a deck that people identify with. And Liberate does a really good job of, I guess, kind of having the finger on the pulse of the types of decks that people want, because you know, there are definitely a lot to get sold here, and there's some kind of unique ones too. You know, just in terms of like how it is that I actually, I guess, utilize some of this stuff with reads and with clients. In the beginning, I'll usually do a scan of their name. I'll have them write down their name, and I just kind of do an energetic scan of that. I'll have them shuffle the cards. Even if we don't use the cards, I'll have them shuffle it just so that, you know, it kind of has their mojo on it anyway, and I'm able to kind of get their sense off of the deck of cards as well. We'll sometimes do have them put their palms, you know, palms down, hands out, palms down, and just kind of put my palms underneath theirs and get a bit of a energetic resonance scan that way as well.
And what's going on with you as the receiver of this information when you're putting your hand over their name, or you're feeling their energy from the cards after they shuffled, or you're getting that vibration under or on top of their hands? What are some of the things that you're experiencing as the receiver of that information? How does that come through to you?
Yeah, sometimes it just comes through as, you know, if they're a little nervous about it, sometimes I'll pick up that they're nervous, or that maybe they're holding back, and I'll just ask them to breathe. Just take in some nice deep breaths. Sometimes I get that there's just a lot of trepidation about something that's going on in their world. Might have to do with their job, might have to do with their personal life, their love life. Sometimes even their kids, you know, something like that. But that's kind of the type of stuff that I'll tend to pick up on. with people. It just kind of depends on what that individual's going through at that time. You know, it changes every time. It changes when people come back and see me. It's not always the same thing because they've had a different type of day.
Interesting. So you're picking up on their energy kind of in the moment.
In the moment, unless if they're asking a question specifically about like a particular person or a particular time, and then I can target that.
Okay, cool.
But just so kind of generally speaking, if people are just like, okay, I'd like to come in for a read and I don't have anything in particular I want to focus on, I can usually kind of just start picking things out and then we kind of whittle down what they want to spend more time talking about.
Interesting. So you can also look at things that are going to happen in the future, the
right.
energy of projects or
yes.
or jobs or offers or whatever the case may be, or relationships, right?
You are. Yep.
Okay. Interesting. Are there ever some times when you find when there's some information and you can just tell that the person really wants to hear one answer, but you know you're getting a completely different energetic read on it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those are sometimes it's tough. I mean, I understand we all are pushing to try to make things happen, and sometimes it's just not immediately gonna happen, you know, and sometimes it's difficult to tell people that, and not from the standpoint of, well, I don't want to tell you. I tell people, you know, what's going on. Now, if it's not something that's I guess it's all a benefit since you know, but if it's not something that is necessarily the most positive news, I do provide information about what it is that they can do to try to basically change the rudder on the situation and try to, you know, steer the situation to an outcome that's going to be more to their benefit or something more to their liking, based on where it is right now, where the chips are going to fall, you know, in that moment. But it's sometimes just, you know, as they say, I guess, not in the cards.
Yeah.
When I say it's hard to tell people, it's hard to get people to understand that maybe they have more work to do before they get what it is that they're seeking.
Mm-hmm. Because you see people come in and they're really in an open, vulnerable space, and they're just kind of wanting clarity on issues. And then there's the individuals or people that want reassurance and validation and to hear that. But I think that when somebody's seeking for validation, correct me if I'm wrong, they probably already know that clear sentience in them, that feeling is already telling them that's not right.
Right.
They're coming in and they're wanting the validation because deep down they know already that it's probably not going to happen, or him or her isn't for them, or that the outcome isn't going to be the most desirable aspect of what they hope. And since they don't have that inherent trust, I would think that's already an element. But those people must be the hardest to deal with, I would imagine.
They can be. It's like being told something and then not being accepted, you know. And the thing is one of the things I really like about the group here at Liberate is that, you know, we all are pretty much just about giving the right information to the client and not necessarily like about telling them what they want to hear, you know. It's just because it's not to their benefit to do that.
And sometimes the things that don't happen the way that you want them, at least in my personal life, the things that they end up being the most beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, it's those surprises, you know.
It's,
you know, this doesn't work out, but then something else works out that's better. And that if you don't know, or if you don't allow for that room or that space, and that I'm from the belief system that nothing's bad. It's all about perception. And that oftentimes our biggest tragedies in life, failures, lost opportunities are actually our greatest gifts. Once we get a front of it in enough time, that can be days, it can be weeks, it can be months, sometimes it's even years, and we look back and we say, thank God, thank heaven, thank this, thank whatever, you know, your belief system is that this didn't happen.
Right.
Instead of that it did.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that all of our practitioners, especially you, Jerome, too, feel that way. And so that you're not giving negative information. You're just telling them that this isn't this isn't the person, the thing, the opportunity for you. Right. And it might be a temporary feeling of loss, but in the long run, it opens up them for something better.
You got it.
Nice. So who do you think benefits the most from coming into for a session from you? Now this is intuitive readings, because we'll have you on again to talk about hypnotherapy, which he's also an amazing hypnotherapist and can reprogram your mind and allow you to really step beyond some of these blocks that come up. But in the sense of coming in and getting clarity on life and allowing you to tap in for them, who do you think benefits most?
I think the people who are eager to learn, eager to figure out what's going on for the purpose of doing something about it.
Hmm.
You know, that's a lot different, I think, than just wanting to know information for the sake of knowing information. You know, we can have that and it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean anything, but to be able to have information for the purpose of doing something about it, for doing something of benefit, I think is fantastic. And I think that those are the people that I tend to see have, you know, a lot more, success with the information that they're hearing, that they're getting back, whether it's positive, whether it's negative. They have that information and they can do something about it, and they do. And then they come back again and they're like, okay, so I was able to change this into something that was more to my liking, which is fantastic. That's great. You know, that's what we want people to be able to do with extra information, is to just be able to do better. You know, that's what we all would like to do, is to, you know, kind of take the opportunity to have more information, be trusted with more information and more responsibility, so that we can do more than what it is that we would be able to do without it.
Okay, so really having sometimes the best thing to do is to know that you're in a proactive space, and that you're taking that information and you're really going to take action with it.
Absolutely. And I think that when you go get a reading, that pretty much, just by virtue of the fact that you're proactively going out of your home or whatever your regular routine is, and going to get a reading, that puts you squarely inside of that group, that you're being proactive to do something about whatever it is that you're coming in for. You know, you're already doing it. It's not something huge where you get hit by a lightning bolt and scream, "I have the power," and then you then you go ahead and do this thing. It's so much easier than that. It's so just regular and common, and, you know, stuff that everyday people do every day. It's really nice to see, you know, frankly, more and more people doing it. As we kind of are experiencing this awakening and this knowledge and this shedding of fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm. And shedding the negative connotation.
Right.
That, you know, these are like gypsies or this, and that people are just trying to, that's not what, you know, readings are about. Are there, sure, are there gypsies and scam artists and things like that? But, you know, I think you can really much tell by utilizing your intuition and really guiding yourself when you feel that somebody's from a heart-centered space and they want the best for you. And it's almost more of like it's a therapy session with intuition. You know?
Absolutely.
And that you, just by sheer a virtue of expressing what is going on in your life, is what I think you're saying, is that in taking that action step, you're already acting upon a change. Now, this is really important, since we have viewers and listeners from all over. What is your feeling on phone sessions versus face-to-face sessions?
I think that they're, well, one, just as valid. That's for sure. I definitely think that they're just as valid. I think that it's a slightly, ever so slightly different mechanism. And it just really has to do with kind of projecting forward what it is that you're kind of using in the room, when you have somebody that's, you know, directly right there versus somebody that's on the phone. When they're on the phone, you're still just kind of like almost, the way that I do it, I'd imagine, and even, you know, completely accept if other people have different techniques, but I almost kind of see myself sort of arcing like over a map over to where, you know, they are, kind of, you know, or even like through and coursing back through the phone line, following the voice through the phone line digitally, you know, and that's kind of a way to be able to link in to them and to connect and to ground with what it is that's going on with them energetically. You ask a great question, but I'm almost having a tough time answering just because there's so many different ways that people are able to, I guess, kind of do that. And it's just so different, you know. But for myself, I guess, I've gotten to the point now of where I don't see a major difference between the two. Mm-hmm. But I guess that people might even kind of align that with, switching from one accent to another. You know, if you are able to speak with a New York accent, and then you can slip into a Southern accent, you know, or if you have a Spanish accent, and then you can slip into an Irish lilt or something like that. It's just kind of being able to kind of know that you have that ability to do that, and you just kind of switch over into it a little bit.
I like the way that you say that, you know, having that ability, training yourself, and maybe understanding that it's not necessarily something that's natural for everybody, but once you get into that natural rhythm of it, and you can see that it's no different. And I guess that, you know, in understanding like energy healing, that, you know, there is no really time space continuum. And so whether, you know, there are energy healers and practitioners that really prefer the face to face of the person, and then there's some people that, you know, after they train themselves to visualize the body, the image, the person of that, and they can do that interchangeably, the healing can be just as effective, doing a distant healing as a face-to-face. And I think that's what you're saying for the reading is, you know, not everybody can do it just so naturally, but once you get into that ebb and flow, and you relay whatever those techniques are. So yours, you're going through the phone line, or you're visualizing the person or the voice or whatever the case may be. And that is nailing you into that moment with that person. And you're allowing yourself to pick up just as if they're sitting across from you.
Yeah, you got it.
Awesome.
You got it. That's definitely where that happens. And I'm just really excited to see how these things continue to happen, because it really does seem like that it's happening more and more and more. And as it happens more and more and more, we kind of start getting a sense of the fact that there are stories out there of this stuff happening everywhere, all the time. You know, we hear about yogis that have interesting abilities, you know, that mm-hmm. aren't what we would call, normal for most humans. We hear about, just great people out there, Jesus, you know, that has abilities that normal people don't have. Now, Jesus, granted, is the Son of God, but, you know, then again, mm-hmm. we're all God's children, right? So what is there to separate us from doing, you know, what it is that Jesus, you know, is recorded as having done? It's just really amazing to, as this kind of awakening is happening, that we start seeing these stories, that there are very popular stories out there about people who are, you know, former men, as they're called, you know, and that they have these abilities to kind of like do things just a little differently. Sometimes they even look a little different, but not always. Sometimes they look just like regular, you know, people, you and me, but they're a little different, and they have this terminology of being former men, and they've become very popular, and the name that we call them by now are X-Men, and that they have a humongous movie franchise, a humongous comic book following, and it's just about people that are able to just do things a little differently.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that we're all able to do things a little bit differently when we give ourselves that time and energy, and not trying to look at how somebody else sees or observes or their skills or gifts and say, they can do that, but I can't. Because if you allow yourself to open yourself up to what is unique about the gifts that you're given, you know, some of you that are listening, maybe you hear things. And as Jerome was saying, that's the one sense that he experiences the least, you know, and he gets the pictures and he gets the feelings and those sensations. But, you know, if you stop fighting and saying that there's a right or a wrong way, there's just this ability that you can tap in. And the more that you go in that area and you kind of fine tune it, it's like, it reminds me of, you know, I'll give two different analogies. And because the more that we experience and we focus on something, the more we practice something, the better we get. And you know, for an example, when you see the ocean waves splashing upon the sand, you have those small molecules of sand, but you also have those big boulders. And if you look at the imprint and where the energy of that water hits upon the rock, maybe it splashes on just a little bit of it, but as it continues to go, you know, if you take your handprint and you put it on a boulder, right, your hand's going to touch the boulder in certain spots, but there's going to be a lot of your hand that doesn't touch. But over time, and over the water hitting the rocks and hitting the rocks and hitting the rocks and the different seashells and stuff like that, it becomes sand. You put your hand into sand and every single part of your hand is imprinted into that sand, right? But it's not imprinted into the boulder.
That's right.
So it becomes more refined over a period of time. And then I don't know if anybody listening drinks, but you know, you hear about that with your palate, right? And so maybe the first time that somebody ever tried wine, they taste red wine, they taste white wine, and that's about the basics they get.
Right.
And then as they continue to drink, let's say, red wine, they can tell the difference between a Merlot and a Cabernet and a they can go in between the differences.
Right.
And they can even tell the difference between a California Cabernet and a French Cabernet. And the difference in the subtleties of and tasting different vineyards and things along those lines, more that they expose, the more that that tongue and that palate can decipher between the different flavors.
Yeah.
And I think that that's when you tap into these other sensations. If you look at even your own physical senses, that you can feel things differently or you can taste things differently.
You
can also allow yourself to experience the world differently.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a fantastic way of looking at it. It's true. There are just so many different ways that have yet to be discovered, I think, or yet to have been, that we have yet to awaken to. Maybe that's a better way of putting it. But yeah, it's a really exciting time to kind of observe and to be in this environment where you see so many people coming in and people starting to acknowledge dreams more and being able to kind of decipher those. My grandmother, which is where I think I kind of get a lot of my stuff from, she had a lot of this and she focused mostly on dreams, apparently. She was a nurse, and so she, you know, did a lot of healing, but also I think saw a fair amount of death, and her dreams tended to kind of focus in on that area. But, you know, it's something that kind of just started off with me. I remember having dreams as a little kid, 6 years old, being in my own bed, but in a different room. And it was just always kind of the most, it wasn't scary, it was just kind of odd, bizarre. Yeah. And so the thing is that I would always wake up in my bed in that room at some point after the dream. And it was because every time I had that dream, it was actually indicative of a move, like we were moving. And so I ended up basically seeing myself safely in my bed in that dream, you know, but it was in this weird room that I hadn't been in yet because I hadn't been in that new house yet. That was something that always happened. And I just remember thinking after I kind of got it, I think it was maybe after like the third time or something, I was like, oh, that's what's happening.
Interesting, which is yet another way that your senses and these, you know, sixth sense can kind of come in through
absolutely
dreams, which I think we should spend maybe one of our whole episodes talking about dreams. But you know, for the purpose of the show today, it's just interesting for, you know, everybody that's listening to kind of see where you have that extra intuition or extra sense that you pick up on, whether it is one of these five senses that we've talked about today and went over. Of course, you know, coming in and talking to Jerome, he's here at Liberate Emporium. You can find him online at remindthemind.org or .com.
.org.
So you can find him online at remindthemind.org. And then, of course, liberateemporium.com. And I'm looking forward to tuning in again and hearing, or looking forward to having you tune in again. Thank you.